Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. A review of New York State's graduation standards, including Regents examinations, is overdue, and the new measures should reflect the skills high school students and graduates need to be successful in adulthood, top education leaders said yesterday at an event hosted by a regional business group. Kids are going to college, taking out huge amounts of loans, and don't really know what interest is, said Roger Tillis, who represents Long Island on the state's Board of Regents, which is responsible for setting much of the state's educational policy. Tillis of Manhasset, Long Island, spoke Wednesday at an event hosted by the Long Island Association, a business nonprofit based in Melville. Danden Zhao reports on Newsday.com that Tillis's talk came just 2 weeks after the announcement of 64 members to an advisory panel called the Blue Ribbon Commission. The panel will review the state's graduation measures and help identify the knowledge and skills students need to succeed in a drastically changed world. The advisors will begin meeting regularly this fall and are expected to present a final report of recommendations to the Regents Board by summer 2024. Another focus of the commission will be rethinking the role Regents exams play in determining whether a high school senior can graduate. Current students must pass at least 4 or 5 state Regents exams to get a high school diploma. Robert Vecchio, executive director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association, said that it's time to revisit the graduation standards, given how much the world has changed, that test scores alone shouldn't determine whether a student can graduate. The joint master developers of the long-anticipated revitalization project near the blighted Long Island Railroad Station area in Riverhead presented their financial and development qualifications Tuesday night in pursuit of an agreement to develop 2 multi-million-dollar mixed-use buildings on municipal properties in Riverhead. Alec Lewis reports on RiverheadLocal.com that representatives from RXR and Georgica Green Ventures, the 2 real estate development firms designated joint master developers of the project earlier this year, gave a presentation on their proposed project to the Riverhead Town Board and the public during the qualified and eligible hearing process necessary under New York State Urban Renewal Law for the town of Riverhead to sell or lease property it owns in the area. The developers have proposed building a 4- and 5-story mixed-use building with 243 apartments and podium parking on an internal portion of the ground floor, lined by perimeter uses on the 2-acre town-owned parking lot between Court Street and Railroad Avenue. If the Riverhead Town Board determines after the hearing that the developer is qualified and eligible, the town can proceed to authorize the signing of a master developer agreement with the groups to move forward on the purchase of the town-owned land. The Spring School District has established and reorganized its committees and is looking for parents, guardians, and community members to join them. The Board of Education and the school district established committees to regularly review and provide input and feedback in a variety of areas, Board of Education President Barbara Dayton said in a September 22nd letter. Desiree Keegan reports on 27East.com that the working groups include the audit, technology, policy development, shared decision-making, district emergency response, communications, building and grounds, and health, safety and wellness committees, along with a guidance plan and advisory council. Those interested in serving should email a letter detailing qualifications and a contact phone number to the attention of District Clerk Julie Bistrian. Send it to committees at springschool.org by Friday, October 7th. Since its inception, the East End Food Institute, a nonprofit organization that builds partnerships among farmers, food producers, and food consumers from Long Island to New York City and beyond, has centered its purpose on a core philosophy. Everyone in the local community should be able to access locally grown food and food products. Kaylin Riley reports on Newsday.com and 27East.com that making that a reality is challenging, requiring a lot of coordination when it comes to processing and other logistics. But thanks to the dedication of several partners, from farmers and food producers to other engaged and influential members of the community, the Institute has been making steady progress toward that goal. During a special event at Nick and Tony's restaurant in East Hampton recently, Executive Director Kate Fulham announced that the Institute was launching a new project that it believes has the potential to revolutionize how residents in the region obtain food while also bolstering support for local food producers. As reported on 27East.com, the development of what the Institute is calling the East End Food Hub will, according to Fulham, help to diversify revenue streams for farmers while ensuring there is healthy, farm-fresh food for all people in need. The hub will be located at the site of the former Homeside Florist and Garden Center in Riverhead, where the Institute currently hosts an indoor farmers market, which will run on Friday evenings through the month of October. Transforming that site into a food hub is projected to be a $15 million to $20 million project. For more information on the East End Food Institute, visit eastendfood.org. State officials yesterday declared the polio virus an imminent threat to public health, expanding funding sources for health departments on Long Island and statewide for immunization clinics and outreach to get more New Yorkers vaccinated. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that the declaration by State Health Commissioner Mary Bassett enables municipalities to work closely with the New York State Department of Health's Office of Public Health Practice to claim reimbursement for vaccine-related health care and retroactively covers poliovirus response activities from July 21st through December 31st, 2022. Quote, from day one, we've taken an aggressive public health approach to combat the spread of polio and ensure New Yorkers are protected, Governor Kathy Hochul said. This declaration will bolster our ongoing efforts to protect New Yorkers against paralytic disease, prevent spread, and support our public health partners, said the New York governor. It was not immediately clear how much state funding and resources could be heading to Nassau and Suffolk. Earlier this month, poliovirus was detected in wastewater samples taken in Nassau County, the fifth county in New York State to find traces of the virus. Governor Kathy Hochul announced her opposition yesterday to legislation proposed by some state lawmakers to rename Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day, just hours after Republican nominee Congressman Lee Zeldin blasted the idea. We generally do not comment on legislation that has not passed both houses, but Governor Hochul does not support eliminating Columbus Day, said spokeswoman Hazel Crampton Hayes. She looks forward to again marching in the Columbus Day Parade and proudly proclaiming Columbus Day this year, and she will continue to be a strong supporter of the Italian-American community, the governor's spokesperson added. Zach Williams in the New York Post reports that the opposition from Hochul and her rival suggests that any effort to change the holiday at the state level would face a gubernatorial veto. Members of the East Hampton Town Trustees and East Hampton Town Police Department Marine Patrol are calling for steeper fines and more serious criminal charges linked to the illegal harvesting of shellfish and crabs in town waters after a summer in which officials say an organized community of poachers pillaged East Hampton Town waters for blue claw crabs and other shellfish. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that Marine Patrol officers issued more than 140 violations for breaking shellfishing rules this past summer, primarily for failure to have a town shellfish license, which is required in all East Hampton Town waters and available only to residents. Senior Harbor Master Tim Treadwell told the East Hampton Town Board of Trustees this week. There is little evidence, he added, that the perpetrators are being held accountable in court, or that the relatively small fines issued will act as much of a deterrent. The onslaught this summer found groups of a dozen or more people setting upon the local ponds, Georgica Pond in East Hampton and Mecox Bay and Watermill in particular, because of their robust stocks of blue claw crab, and gathering crabs and shellfish. When approached by authorities, the groups would scatter. Quote, Georgica has gotten overrun with out-of-towners who seem to have some sort of social media connection, and they get this information that they can come to Georgica and Mecox. Southampton has had the same problem, Treadwell said. They're well aware of the fact that what they are doing is illegal. People have said we should put signs in different languages, but they know it's illegal. They run from us. The harbor master said that they know that from those they've caught that the poaching perpetrators are mostly coming from the boroughs of New York City. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.